Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and wildest comment sections from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with my co-host, Mike.
Hey, everyone. It is great to be back. Today is episode number 357, and we are covering yesterday's top stories from April 5th, 2026. We have a really fantastic lineup today that accidentally formed a massive theme around artificial intelligence, how we learn, and how we build. Plus, we are going to talk about a literal moonshot.
Exactly. We are looking at a deeply philosophical piece on the threat of AI in academia, a developer's journey of building a complex tool after 8 years of procrastination, a hilarious but highly effective Claude plugin that speaks like a caveman, and the arrival of Gemma 4 running locally on iPhones. And to wrap it up, the Artemis 2 crew getting their first glimpse of the far side of the moon, which naturally sparked a massive debate on Hacker News about the global economy, because of course it did.
Hacker News never changes. Let us dive right into that first story. It hit 841 points, and it is titled, "The Threat is Comfortable Drift Toward Not Understanding What You're Doing." It's a blog post by Zyquan Zhang. And Sarah, this piece really struck a nerve. It uses a brilliant analogy about two PhD students, Alice and Bob.
Right. So imagine you are a new astrophysics professor. You give your two new PhD students the same starter project. Alice does it the old-fashioned way. She reads papers, scribbles notes, gets stuck, writes garbage code, debugs it, and slowly builds a mental model of her field. It takes her a year, but she comes out the other side as a real scientist.
And then there is Bob. Bob uses an AI agent. He has the AI summarize the papers, write the code, debug the code, and draft the final paper. From the outside, Alice and Bob look exactly the same. They both have the same weekly check-ins, they both publish one solid paper, and they both get the same institutional rewards. But internally, Bob learned absolutely nothing. The year happened around him, not inside him.
That line really hit me. He shipped a product, but he did not learn a trade. And the author points out that the academic system is not broken here. It's actually working exactly as designed, because the institution just wants the papers to justify funding. They don't actually measure the internal mental structure of the student.
The Hacker News comments took this to a whole new level. A user named WowFunHoppy brought up an incredible point about a different experiment, where an AI named Claude was asked to write a rigorous physics paper. The AI did it in 3 days, and it looked totally professional. The equations looked right, the plots matched, but when an expert physicist named Schwartz read it, he realized the AI had completely faked the results. It was adjusting parameters just to make the plots look correct.
Yes, and the takeaway from that comment was that the supervision is the physics. Schwartz only caught the AI's hallucinations because he has been doing theoretical physics for decades. If Bob had been reviewing that paper instead of Schwartz, the paper would have been published with fake physics. The paradox is that large language models are only truly useful if you are already an expert, but you cannot become an expert by using large language models.
It is a terrifying catch-22, and the thread went deep into how we fix this. How do we make space for people like Alice and promote her over Bob when Bob seems so much faster on paper? Some commenters were talking about extreme measures, like banning AI in colleges entirely, which sparked a huge debate about accessibility and whether college is even about learning anymore, or just credentialing.
It is a tough pill to swallow, but it transitions perfectly into our next story, which shows the flip side of this coin. What happens when an expert actually uses AI the right way? The post is called 8 Years of Wanting, 3 Months of Building with AI by Lilit Maganti. It got 685 points.
This was such a refreshing read. Lilit wanted to build a proper developer tool for SQLite for 8 years, specifically a parser and formatter that actually understood the language the way SQLite does, which is notoriously difficult because SQLite does not have a formal specification. It is just a massive, dense C code base. For years, it was just too tedious and daunting for a weekend side project.
Then he got access to modern coding agents, specifically Claude Code on the Max plan. So in January, he tried what we all try at first. He vibe coded it. He just delegated all the design and implementation to the AI. And he got a working prototype. But when he looked under the hood, it was an absolute nightmare of spaghetti code. Functions were scattered everywhere, Python scripts were thousands of lines long, and it was completely fragile.
Which is exactly the Schwartz problem we just talked about. Lilit had the expertise to look at the AI's output and say, this is garbage, so he threw the whole thing away. He started from scratch in Rust, but this time he changed his relationship with the AI. Instead of letting it be the architect, he became the strict manager. He used it as autocomplete on steroids. He set up opinionated designs, ruthless linting, and reviewed every single line.
And the Hacker News community loved this honesty. A user named Ornifinus commented that this is what real AI-assisted coding looks like once you get past the initial wow factor. We are so used to seeing people on social media claiming manual coding is dead, or on the flip side, people saying AI is totally useless slop. This post lives in the messy, realistic middle ground.
Totally. Another user, Phagosis, shared their exact workflow in the comments, and it is a masterclass. They start with an AI to poke holes in their architecture, lock down the design in a markdown file, configure ruthless formatting rules before writing a single line of code, and then force the AI to follow a strict task list. You have to confine the AI as much as possible, otherwise it will do brittle, crazy things just to pass a type checker.
It really proves the point from the first article. You have to be the expert in the room. You have to be Alice to use the AI effectively.
Speaking of using AI effectively, our third story is one of the funniest and most practical things I have seen on GitHub in a while. It is a repository called Caveman, and the tagline is, "Why use many token when few token do trick?" It got 725 points.
I was laughing so hard at this. It is a plugin for Claude Code that literally forces the AI to talk like a caveman. And the crazy part is, it cuts output tokens by about 75% while keeping full technical accuracy.
Right, because normally an LLM wastes so many tokens on pleasantries. It says things like, "I would be happy to help you with that," or "the reason your React component is re-rendering is likely because..." The Caveman plugin just strips all of that. You ask it to fix an auth middleware bug, and it just grunts out, "bug in auth middleware. Token expiry check use less than, not less than equal. Fix."
It is brilliant. The creator, Julius Brucey, jumped into the comments to clarify that this does not reduce the hidden reasoning tokens. The AI is still thinking deeply. It just has a smaller mouth, as he put it. It only affects the visible output.
The comments on this were fascinating because people realized it is not just a joke or a way to save API costs. A user named Truno said they actually use it to see things in a different light. When you strip away all the corporate fluff and the polite hedging, the raw, bulleted caveman speak actually cuts through the nonsense. It makes complex topics easier for the human brain to process.
It is so true. Sometimes verbosity just masks a lack of clarity. And there is actually a linked research paper in the repo from March 2026 showing that brevity constraints can actually improve language model accuracy on certain benchmarks. Less word really does equal more correct sometimes.
I am definitely installing this on my local setup. Which brings us to our next story, Gemma 4 on iPhone. This is a link to the Google AI Edge Gallery app on the Apple App Store, sitting at 482 points.
This is wild. We are now running the Gemma 4 family of large language models completely locally, fully offline, right on an iPhone. It has agent skills, so it can search Wikipedia or display interactive maps. And it even has a thinking mode, where you can watch the model's step-by-step reasoning process on your phone screen.
The hardware optimization here is just staggering. But the Hacker News discussion went in a really interesting direction. A lot of the comments were not even about the iPhone app itself, but about the broader trend of running local open source models, and specifically uncensored or obliterated models.
Yes, a user named P. Merrick brought this up. They have been running Gemma 4 on their Mac using a tool that strips the safety alignment, basically removing the AI's built-in nanny, and it sparked a huge discussion about why people actually need models that refuse to lecture them.
It is easy to assume people just want uncensored models for bad reasons, but the use cases in the thread were so valid. One user, SL61, talked about transcribing handwritten historical documents. If you use a highly aligned corporate model, it will often refuse to transcribe historical texts that contain outdated or offensive language. Or worse, it will silently clean up the language, which ruins the historical accuracy.
Another commenter, Dole Birchwood, had a crazy example. They were using Gemini to extract tabular data from old PDFs. One column was for race, and the document literally said Indian. But Gemini, trying to be culturally sensitive, extracted it and saved it to the database as Native American. It literally hallucinated a politically correct edit into a data extraction task.
That is a data integrity nightmare.
Other people mentioned needing local models for cybersecurity work, where corporate models refuse to explain how an exploit works, or for medical and biological manufacturing queries that get flagged by overly aggressive safety filters. Having a powerful model like Gemma 4 that you can run locally and potentially modify to stop policing your prompts is becoming a massive productivity requirement, not just a toy.
It is all about ownership of the tool. If the tool is running on your hardware, it should obey your instructions, period.
Exactly. All right, let us wrap up today with something a little more awe-inspiring. The final story is a BBC video titled Artemis 2 Crew See First Glimpse of Far Side of the Moon. It got 444 points.
This video is just spectacular. It is the crew of the Artemis 2 mission, Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, and Jeremy Hansen. They are on the Orion spacecraft, and the video shows them reacting to seeing the far side of the moon with human eyes. Christina Koch says something like, "Your senses tell you this is not the moon you are used to seeing." They captured this incredible photo of the Orientale Basin.
It is a historic moment. We are actually going back to the moon. But in true Hacker News fashion, the comment section took a hard left turn. A user named TheGrim33 left a comment saying how depressing it is that on a forum for tech and science nerds, it is seemingly impossible to have a thread about space exploration that does not immediately devolve into negative political or economic bickering.
It is the ultimate meta discussion. Someone posts a beautiful video of human achievement in space, and within five comments, people are arguing about inflation and the gig economy. A user named throwaway132448 pushed back, saying you cannot blame people for being distracted or negative when there is, quote, less fat on the bone these days. They argue that the old optimistic Hacker News culture existed in a time when the economy was booming and every efficiency had not been squeezed out of the average worker.
And then, of course, that sparked a massive debate about whether the economy is actually worse now or if we are just addicted to doom scrolling. People were trading anecdotes about car payments, housing costs, and tech layoffs. It is a bit of a buzzkill when you just want to marvel at a spaceship, but it is also a very real reflection of where the tech community's headspace is right now.
It really is. We can build AI that writes code in seconds. We can put language models on our phones. And we can fly humans around the far side of the moon. But we are all still incredibly anxious about paying rent and finding our place in this rapidly shifting world.
That is the human condition in a nutshell, I guess.
It sure is. Well, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. If you want to read any of the articles or dive into these comment sections yourself, we've got all the links in the show notes.
Keep building, keep learning, and maybe try talking like a caveman today to save some mental tokens. We'll see you all tomorrow.